Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, but what a crazy, brave new world we live in when the Browns and the Bills are the movers and shakers in the NFL.
Man, I thought the Browns did great in that trade.
They did. They did, and they were very aggressive throughout. I mean, coming up with Johnny Manziel as your second player after you fill a need at cornerback, and, you know, you get him with a little bit less of a reduced expectations, a little bit of a reduced salary, you know, that's a win. You know, getting cornerback help is a win, and getting a 2015 first-round pick is a win. Whoever's their GM and coach in 2015 will be thrilled to have it.
You're suggesting that they won't have the same coach and GM?
Actually, now there's a good chance that these guys are doing the right thing. Maybe they'll be there. Maybe this really is the start. You know, I don't mean to be pessimistic like that. This could be the start of something. They certainly look good right now, what they've accomplished in the last 36 hours.
So give me your top three winners from day one in the draft.
Well, I think what you just named the Buffalo Bills. That was one of the biggest winners that we have, and the Browns were another one of those winners. The Bills, and when you factor in this pick, I think they really did have to move on from Stevie Johnson. I think having him as sort of the centerpiece of the offense was holding them back as a team. Now you bring in Watkins, brought in a lot of good wide receiver talent last year, and they have the offense that they need to run Doug Marone's system. The Browns, as we mentioned, very strong here. And I think the Vikings did a heck of a job. They come up at the end and get Teddy Bridgewater 32nd overall. He's somebody a lot of us had in the top 10 in terms of quality quarterbacks. He's also a ready-to-start quarterback. And they came in and they also got Anthony Barr from UCLA, very fast outside linebacker. They're transitioning on defense. They're going to be doing more of a multiple 4-3-3-4 hybrid than they've done in years past. So he's going to be a big piece of that puzzle.
What did you make of Bridgewater and the fact that when they had the combine, you know, he didn't throw the ball very well and he wasn't wearing gloves?
Teddy Bridgewater and his gloves are like Kiss and their makeup. When he takes off those gloves, weird, terrible things happen and you just want him to put it back on. I don't know what the situation is. What I do know is that his combine and his pro day, he confirmed fears of scouts. And when people say, well, combines shouldn't matter and pro days shouldn't matter, one thing that happens is they can confirm fears or they can show the fears, you know, allay the fears. And when teams looked at him and said, gosh, you know, his hands aren't that big, he might not be a good cold weather thrower, his velocity and RPMs might not be great, then he demonstrates that. That creates a worry for a lot of teams. And the worry is, what is his upside? You know, can he go and be one of those, you know, top 10, 15 quarterbacks who can make all the throws? He showed that there's a risk he cannot do that. That said, he's in a situation in Minnesota now where a lot of what he's going to be doing is handing off to Adrian Peterson. They're doing a lot of a rebuild on defense, so he can accomplish a lot, and that team can accomplish a lot while he grows into being that player, or maybe he can be somebody who doesn't have to have elite velocity to succeed.
Mike Tenier joins us. Mike, what's your assessment of Manziel? Do you think he's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL?
I think he's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. I think what I see, you know, everything about him shows me he's going to be in sort of that class of Tony Romo or a Jay Cutler. You know, some people groan when they hear those names. Well, these are phenomenal quarterbacks who can take good teams to playoffs, you know, if they have the opportunity and can start for years and years. But the whole package, that includes the athleticism, the arm, and frankly, the sort of polarizing way he has with people where he turns into a story whenever he does anything. But, you know, for a team like the Browns, if you told the Browns and Browns fans they would have a Cutler-level player or a Romo-level player after what they've been through in the last decade, they will definitely take their chances.
Mike, now we move to day two. Who do you think is the best quarterback available? Is it Carr?
I don't think it's Carr. I think it comes down to what you have. If you have a need right away, I would say take Derek Carr because you can come in very NFL-ready. If you can wait a year or two, I would say take Zach Mettenberger from LSU, who's coming off of an injury but has a great arm. Tom Savage from Pitt, phenomenal arm, needs a lot of mechanical, needs a lot of growing up, so to speak, in the field. Or take Jimmy Garoppolo coming from that small program. Fantastically quick release guy. He flicks the ball down the field. All of them are guys if you can wait a year. The trick is I'm looking at some of the teams that are on the clock and did not get a quarterback, you know, yesterday. A lot of them are not in a great position to wait a year, in which case they might have to take a chance with, say, Derek Carr can come in, he can start for us for a year or two, but like Bridgewater, in an even worse case, what's his upside? How good can he really be?
And that's always the concern is that, yeah, you bring the quarterback in, and you can ruin him if you don't allow him the time to develop.
It's exactly it. And what, in the second and third round, you can say, well, maybe we get somebody whose upside is like Andy Dalton, and he can get us to the playoffs and get us moving here, and then we have to hope, you know, some really magical thing happens. But you're right. If you do not have the tools around you, if you don't have the players, the Raiders are a team that come to mind right away. They don't have enough to surround the quarterback with that he's going to be able to succeed right away, and they could really struggle, and the bad habits could develop.
Mike Denier joins us from sportsonearth.com. Mike, was there any moves yesterday? What was the most surprising pick for you in the first round?
Well, one of the things that really got me kind of excited, I'm not a Patriots fan. In fact, I'm sometimes a little bit one of those Patriots bashers because after 13 years, I'm sick of writing about them. But it really was exciting to hear Dominique Easley, a phenomenal defensive tackle who's had multiple ACL surgeries, trying to come back from an ACL that ruined like the second half of his 2013 season. So many of us who do the scouting game in the media saw the film of him and said, my God, he's phenomenal. He's like a John Randall-level talent if he can stay healthy. And to see the Patriots, who are a team who need that caliber of player coming in at number 29 or wherever they pick 30, and be able to say, well, we can take this risk because we're the Patriots, and you know it's boom or bust at this point, Super Bowl or bust. And to bring a guy in like that, excellent pick, and kind of a validation of what you're saying, like, okay, this is the upside of the talent that teams are looking for, and they're willing to look past the possibility of injuries if they're willing to gamble on greatness. And I think that the Patriots, if he's healthy, just got themselves a Pro Bowler.
There's lots of scuttlebutt about, trades and different things, players who you think are on the block. Who do you think, Mike's the guy likely to be moved here in the next few days?
Well, Johnson was on the short list, and he goes right away. There's a lot of talk about Ryan Mallett, but I don't know what to make of that. I've got no confirmation of it. Mallett, Tom Brady's backup. For 3 months, we've been hearing that he's going to go to the Houston Texans, which sounds a little bit to me like sort of a wishful thinking concept. But there has been some movement on that front. He might be a guy who goes. I think we'll know more by the end of today, because if the Texans don't take a quarterback in the second round or a third round, they'll either have to deal one of those picks to get Mallett, or they'll be in a position where maybe they're putting a 2015 pick in place to get somebody who Bill O'Brien knows from his coaching days with the Patriots.
There was a lot of scuttlebutt. The 49ers have five picks today in between rounds 2 and 3, and a lot of people thought that they might move some of those to try to move up and take Marquise Lee. Now with the trade for Stevie Johnson, do you think that's pretty much out?
I would still take a chance on Lee because he's a unique player, but you're right in that there are only so many roster spots to go around, and I'm kind of wondering what the 49ers are going to do with all these picks. They simply don't have enough needs. These guys are going to go in there, and NFL teams say, well, we like the competition. They've got backup second and third stringers who would start for about 8 or 9 teams in the NFL, and, the best thing for them to do, if it's not Marquise Lee, maybe go up and get another defensive back, or maybe go up and try and find one of these pass rushers who slipped in the draft, guys like Rashid Hageman, Tony Ealy. Get one of those guys rather than having 5 or 6 picks who go out there and wind up fighting for your third string. It is a great problem to have, though, when you're so awesome as a team that you can't use a third-round pick.
Mike Denier from sportsonearth.com joins us. Mike, we talked about the winners. Who did you think struggled the most yesterday at the draft?
Well, I think that the Dolphins went in there with an obvious need at offensive line, then watched most of the really top-end offensive linemen leave the board, and then they came over with Juwan Jones at the end, who's kind of a second and third round talent, kind of a medium upside player. And of course, the Dolphins had this need because of the whole Richie Incognito thing. They should have been a little more proactive. Another team whose pick I really didn't like was the Pittsburgh Steelers. They picked Ryan Shazier, who's a decent, quick, fast outside linebacker. He's not a very good tackler. He's not a very good hitter. And he's not very disciplined in his approach. So you're going to get a guy who's going to miss a lot of tackles. And when I look at what the Steelers have done in recent years, they've tried to rebuild that awesome awesome outside linebacker core that they've had really for decades. And they've been throwing so many resources at it lately that I think they're getting diminishing returns. This is a guy who could come in and kind of break your heart as he runs up to miss tackles and, have quarterbacks blow by him. They should try to be going in a different direction at this point.
What did you think of it's funny, I'm a Miami Dolphin fan, Mike, and I know that they needed a lot of help on the offensive line, but I was surprised that after their pick was taken, how many people were suggesting he's soft. What are you hearing?
I don't think of him as necessarily a soft player. I think that he's somebody where if you watch his footwork and all, he gets beat. He gets beat to the inside. And he's kind of he's a late tackle, I think, at best. And he's a late tackle who could be an okay one with a little bit of development. But, you know, in the first round, you want somebody that you could move to the left side. I know they have Brandon Albert now. And the thing that I look at is like, okay, Taylor Lewan and Matthews and Robinson were kind of out of reach. The Cowboys took Zach Martin a couple of places ahead of the Dolphins. Dolphins needed help at guard, too. Zach Martin is somebody who could play right tackle and play that at a high level. He was the guy that I think they should have moved up to take. And if they weren't going to do that, then maybe they could have slid down a little bit, taking the young man from UCLA, whose name I won't try to pronounce, Xavier, or somebody like that. I don't think he's necessarily a soft player. I just don't think he's what you get value-wise. He's the player you draft when you absolutely have to need to draft at that position because you're in that bad situation.
Blake Bortles going third overall. Was he the best quarterback in your mind?
No, I had Manziel as the best quarterback, and I had Bridgewater as the second best quarterback. And I like a lot of the things that Bortles does. He runs incredibly well. He does have a very good arm. He's obviously a huge kid, and he's a bright kid. Very fundamentally flawed, and when you watch tape of him a lot, you'll see when he's throwing balls to the outside, they tend to sail. They tend to tail off to the outside when he's throwing. He's got a kind of a weird delivery. He needs a lot of nurturing. I think he needs more nurturing than Manziel, who could run around and make four plays. And he needs a lot more than Bridgewater, who's very finished. And, of course, when you hear the Jaguars and you hear development, you have to worry. They've been through this road before. They don't have a lot of weapons to surround the quarterback with. It's a very tricky situation for their new regime to show that they can really take the steps they need with this young man.
Mike, as always, I appreciate your time. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you. I'm off right now to enjoy some draft. Wish you luck.
Nice.